I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So we're here in Łódź, about 2 hours, just under 2 hours to the southwest of Warsaw, for the second of Ukraine's first two home games since the full-scale Russian invasion. Home games, I suppose, in inverted commas, their new adopted home of Łódź in Poland, a city and a country that Ukraine have happy memories of and good connections with, of course. Now, normally when it comes to at the match, we sometimes take an opportunity to go to a game. We sometimes look at a game that we just like the look of, or a place that we just like the look of. This one's different. This is one that we felt we had to do. It's something so important, we felt we had to be here. I guess there are a lot of other people here who feel the same, because there's huge support for Ukraine here, about 14,000 on Saturday for the first of the two home games against Armenia. It was well supported, well attended. It looks to be at least as much so tonight, and the atmosphere is pretty special outside the ground anyway, with about half an hour to go to kick off as we record this, so I'm sure it's going to be pretty amazing in there.
Yeah.
Well, we've been listening to the Ukrainian...
This is British-Ukrainian journalist Andrew Todos, who's followed the Ukrainian national team throughout their travels from the friendlies to Glasgow, Cardiff and beyond.
Yeah. I guess, firstly, how much did it feel like home against Armenia?
If I was going to compare it to anything, I would say it was similar to when Ukraine played Lviv. And Lviv, in the west of Ukraine, is like the most... It's always been the most patriotic city. Right. Whenever you go there, it's like 40,000 capacity stadium, always a sellout for Ukraine games. Ukraine have never lost there. And it's like massive atmosphere. Everyone's singing, everyone's up for it. Whereas if you go to other crowds in Ukraine when the national team are there, yeah, you'll get the travelling support from everywhere, but it's not the same. Here I'd call it, in Ukrainian, it's like Lviv on a minimum. So it's like... It's like Lviv, but, you know, on a slightly, you know, downscaled version, where obviously it's half the size, but everyone was involved in Armenia. During the Armenia game, everyone was singing, everyone was getting involved in the chants, and it felt like a serious amount of atmosphere, like something that has obviously been missed for Ukraine fans and Ukraine, the team, since they haven't been playing at home for, you know, for the last 6 months.
So I guess the other question is... I mean, normally it would be enormously emotional playing at home, but not at home for the first time since the Russian invasion. But of course, you've already had the big re-get-together for games that really counted in Glasgow and Cardiff. So how was that? And secondly, how difficult do you think it was for Ukraine and their supporters to get up again after the disappointment of Cardiff?
So I think... there was a lot of build-up to the Scotland game, and there was a lot of uncertainty whether Ukraine would be ready fitness-wise, whether, in general, the emotions might get to them and the fans and everything else. And obviously, they pulled out that great performance. And
it must have felt quite surreal.
I think it was surreal, but it was like a feeling of euphoria, at least temporarily, that Ukraine have... Wow, look, we're showing the world that we're not going to be beaten or anything like that. We can get on with it. And despite the circumstances, we can show ourselves in the face of adversity. And then obviously Wales came. It was a slightly different atmosphere because the weather had changed. You know, it was that murky kind of rainy day. It was one of those typical games where just football gods weren't in your favour. Ukraine had loads of chances to put them away. Hennessy played a blinder.
Yeah.
And obviously the penalty shout that I think will probably be spoken about for decades in Ukrainian circles. But
I think I think Yarmolenko's boot is still stuck to Joe Allen, actually.
Exactly. And I'm sure that after the game, Yarmolenko in particular is probably... I think he had a really quite difficult mental, you know, period of time, you know, just after those few matches. After what happened, after obviously his own goal, it was obviously quite difficult. But then obviously they came to Łódź, and I think it was a bit of a reset. So they went to Dublin first, of course. Yarmolenko didn't play. They played a second string side. There were a load of refugees in the stand, a lot of them being at their first game.
Yeah.
And obviously you can tell the difference between that and obviously some of the travelling fans that always come along and all that kind of thing. So some people didn't know the words to chants and all that kind of stuff. But people were like loving the moment of being able to support their team. Ukraine won that match, and then they obviously came to Łódź, which is a bit of a, as Oleksandr Petrikov says, the manager, because he won the Under-20 World Cup here in a different stadium, mind you, across the city in Widzew. He calls it a bit of a lucky stadium for him. Well, a lucky city. So, and he knows that there's a lot of Ukrainian diaspora, a few Ukrainian refugees here too. Mm. And it's relatively easy to get to from Warsaw, Krakow and other areas. So I think it's been a period of time where it was difficult couple of days after that Wales loss. I don't think anyone was angry or disappointed. They were just like, it just wasn't our day. And I think that because Ukrainians have now lived through much more difficult periods in their life, and they are living through that.
Yeah.
The loss of a football match is sort of secondary.
Yeah.
in the realist of terms. It's like, shrug your shoulders, okay, wasn't meant to be, would have been great if we got to the World Cup, helped, but you know, life goes on. It's a football match, and you know, it's not the end of the world.
No, but that's the funny thing about this, isn't it, that football's the least important thing, and still really important at the same time, because it's not just the game, it's visibility, it's keeping Ukraine in the news. Do you feel that kind of, I know you spend a lot of time around the camp, do you feel that determination to keep on representing in their own small way that is actually quite a big way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this year, especially since the full-scale invasion began in February, the national team has certainly taken on a new role away from just being on the pitch and playing football. I think all of the players understand the responsibility that they have with the massive followings they have in social media, with a lot of the players playing across Europe now, which in the past wasn't so popular for most of the Ukraine squad. The fact that they've got all these big followings, so Mykolenko at Everton, Yarmolenko at West Ham, Malinovsky at Atalanta, they've got these like quite big other sides and other countries that are taking an interest in it. And I think they fully understand that they are these ambassadors, like these, you know, de facto ambassadors per se. They've not been put installed as them, but they understand the responsibility on their shoulders that they have to carry on talking about Ukraine regardless of what's going on in their day-to-day lives. Like Mykolenko in the press conference ahead of this game was saying, I had problems in the past that I thought were like world-ending, but now I know that they were literally minutiae compared to the real problems that the country is currently facing. So I think it's putting their lives into a different perspective. Obviously, they're multimillionaires, the majority of them, but they understand that because of the influence of football in Ukraine, in particular being the national sport and obviously having a big following in it and being the national team that has picked up a lot of support over the past few years, especially with the success of Andriy Shevchenko's period.
Yeah.
It's taken a new lease of life as these sporting ambassadors that can go around the world, go around Europe, and keep on carrying on the image and the name of Ukraine through the stories in press conferences, through the pitch performances, and everything else.
And from people back in Ukraine that you're speaking to, what does this mean to them, the national team getting out there and playing again? Because, to be honest, I looked at it even like probably a month and a half before the Scotland game, and I thought, well, with everything that's going on, how can this actually happen? But it has happened, and they've reached a tiny little bit of normal. How are the people at home feeling that, and what does it mean to them?
So I think they were very much invested in the World Cup playoffs, in all honesty. Like the Scotland game, everyone was up for it, everyone was watching it. Obviously the final as well against Wales. However, I think there has been a tiny drop-off for these Nations League matches. Even though Ukraine are playing in them, I just think the importance of the games in the grand scheme of things, like obviously they're not making Qatar, and obviously we've been seeing a few experimentations with the starting lineups and that kind of thing. Just maybe the more casual supporter has dropped in and out. People have got other things to do, more important things like with their family or anything like that. Or there's like an air raid going on and that kind of thing. But in general, I think there is still very much a sense that the team can bring a bit of respite at the moment. Obviously, there's no live football going on in Ukraine, and there probably won't be for a while, especially with spectators in the stadium. So it's sort of back to this COVID way of life, but obviously with bombs and guns and all the other atrocities that are going on.
Yeah.
And I think that because it's been such a quite a compact period of like five games, it's coming on and on and on, like maybe it's faded out towards the end of this campaign. Obviously not for the fans that are here, that we can hear today.
Yeah.
On Saturday as well with Armenia, there was loads of support and people want to show everything that's going on. And obviously there's like even new chants that have made their debut on the stands, like the ZSU, which is Ukrainian Armed Forces, is just now a staple of the Ukrainian sort of terrorist chant catalogue now. So it's interesting, and it's interesting to see the development of, I think, Ukrainian fandom as well. Obviously, a lot of these people here are like women and children. Some are just migrant workers that have been here for, you know, however many years. It's back home, I just think that they're slightly more detached from it being live now, and especially with the sort of the slight detraction in the importance of the matches. It's been a slight drop off, but still I think a lot of people will be tuning in for this particular match because it's the last one of the season, the last official sort of season closer. We don't really know if the UPL, Ukrainian Premier League, will be restarting or when it will be. There's a guess that maybe at the end of August, there'll be 20th of August, there might be some matches, whether they'll be in Poland, whether some will be in Ukraine. It's all sort of up in the air still.
Yeah, you're going to be back here a lot for Champions League and the like, aren't you?
Most possibly. Yeah, I think at the moment it's this uncertainty as to, obviously we know that Ukraine will be playing again in the Nations League in September, but what after that? Like, what will the stance of the country be? How will the war be progressing and all that? And that also has like a massive influence on everything that's going on with people's day-to-day lives. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the national team, you know, carries on, and especially with a lot of players possibly making moves to Europe, because obviously the Shakhtar and Dynamo Kyiv and other clubs won't be able to play or attract some of the top talent that they did in the past. We might be seeing a lot more Ukrainians in some of the top five leagues, and we've seen a lot of the rumours since. So it'll be interesting.
So, finally, I guess, how are you feeling? I mean, we're 12 days into June. 14 days into June. You've been through a number of games. We've seen the Ukrainian national team come back. I mean, it must be emotionally, quite exhausting.
Oh, absolutely. So I started off with all three sort of charity friendlies that they played in preparation ahead of the Nations League and the World Cup playoffs. So that was a bit weird as well, because obviously it was like a bit part team. There was the emotions, I think, in the early games, and then by the time it came to Scotland and the Wales match, I think the Ukrainian team, especially on the pitch, learned to control that and understood that, listen, we needed to get a professional job done and everything else. And I've sort of, I think, taken that on as well. It was obviously quite difficult in the first couple months, living in London as I do and not being able to be there, especially when some of my friends are like fighting or living through the air raids and all that kind of difficulty. But I've sort of taken on this hard shell as well, I think similar to the players, where you just get on with reporting. You need to do what you need to get the stories out there that these players are talking about, that these other footballers are talking about, things that are happening to Ukrainian stadiums being bombed and destroyed and all that kind of stuff. And I've just taken it upon myself that, you know, not many people have got the opportunity or the ability to follow Ukrainian football like I do. So I just need to maintain the facts and get these reports and things out there so that people carry on remembering exactly what's going on in Ukraine, because it's difficult to see. Like, I've been in the back to London for a few days, etc., in and out of all these matches, and you can tell that the war in Ukraine is getting slightly lower and lower on the news schedule and all this kind of things, and it's just important to keep it going. And I think through sport, especially as it's so accessible and a lot of people may not watch the news or care about politics and all that kind of thing, it's one of those prisms that you can get messages across that usually maybe might be shut off to certain crowds and certain age groups.
Number 10, Andriy Yarmolenko. Number 19, Ruslan Malinovsky. Number 10, Mykola Shaparenko. Number 11, Artem Dovbyk. Number 13, Ilya Zabarny. Номер 16 – Віталій Миколенко. Номер 17 – Олександр Зінченко. Номер 21 – Олександр Караваєв. Номер 22 – Микола Матвієнко. Тренер збірної України – Олександр Петраков.
Україна. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the national anthem of Ukraine.
Ukraine.
during that anthem, all the Ukrainian players were each wrapped in a big Ukrainian flag. First decent Ukraine chance. Decent save from Kelleher. The first time Ukraine have really put anything together. Not that the crowd need lifting, having said that. So we know that Alexander Zinchenko plays a slightly different role with Ukraine to what he does with Manchester City. But we're 13 minutes in, and so far, I think he's played centre midfield, right wing, left back, bit of number 10. He's been everywhere anyway. And there goes that chant that Andrew was telling us about beforehand, in support of those fighting for Ukraine. Yeah, it looks like Ruslan Malinovsky is done. He was doubtful for this game in the first place. He's just wandered off. And the fourth official's got his little board out. But I can't see a sub ready yet. Here comes Mikhailo Mudryk. For Ireland, it was just Roberto Baggio'd Ukraine. It's a brilliant goal. Gets the ball about 35 yards from goal. Mini slalom, takes a couple of players out, opens up for him all of a sudden. Really, really smooth finish. He'll never score a better goal than that.
Goal for Republic of Ireland, scored by number 12, Nathan Collins. Ukraine, Republic of Ireland, 0-1.
Well, Yarmolenko wanted a penalty there. 1-2 with Dovbyk. Got it back, cut inside onto the left. Maybe he went down a little bit easily. We don't really have access, well, we don't have access to replays up here.
so difficult to know, but when the referee told him to get up, he didn't really seem to complain about it that much.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Interesting thing about this second half, which isn't even 10 minutes old so far, is Ukraine have gone for it so hell for leather, which it paid dividends in terms of the score.
it's kind of given Ireland an opportunity as well, because Ukraine are throwing so many people forward and they're playing with such a delightful recklessness that it is opening up opportunities for Ireland on the counter-attack. Oh, Mekulenko just across the face of goal. It was a very tappable cross that no one was quite there to tap in. Plenty of chances on both sides. Just after the hour, and I would be astonished if this finished 1-1. £10,500 in tonight, but as you can hear, the crowd are still giving it everything. I think their team are trying to do the same for them. Both of these teams are doing their best to try and fashion a winner, but it does feel like both are running on empty a little bit. A lot of mistakes creeping in. Saw Andrei Yarmolenko a minute ago try and do a sombrero on James McLean, and it just scuffed off the outside of his foot and bobbled out of play, and sort of it just looked beat all of a sudden. And I suspect there are a lot of players like that, you know, given so much in the last couple of weeks. See if they can eke out something, just one little bit more. Great run by Mudryk. Good opportunity for Yarmolenko. Just couldn't gather himself, couldn't compose himself. And that is probably that, I suspect. To the centre circle where they're going to acknowledge the fans. So, how's the last 2 weeks been for you? You and the national team have been through a lot in that time.
Oh, yes, it was so difficult. And in 14 days, we played 5 games. And it's not easy with the travel, you know. It's not also temperature. We were in Great Britain, and there is 13 rain, and we come here, 26 degrees, and after 3 days play a game again.
This is Ukraine's Atalanta midfielder, Ruslan Malinovsky, who has been one of the most vocal opponents of the Russian invasion on social media.
Yeah, about game, was good game, I think, and we know that in second half we will have more space, and I think we had some possibilities to score, but we didn't score, but we know that Ireland, it will be different Ireland what we play in Dublin, but because they won in the against Scotland, it give a little bit more energy, and we saw the team motivate, and they show today that they have quality.
How proud do the players feel of themselves with everything going on back home to perform like you have in these games?
I'm so proud for the team because we give everything in these games, and especially today when we go behind 1-0, we still believe in we come to the first half and we score a fast goal, and of course the game was open, and I think for us and it was not bad to have a point against Ireland because we know they have a good team. But especially we played today for all country because we know that a lot of people lose house, lose job, lose everything, and we know this. With this we can help, and also out of the pitch we can help them.
Going back to that first game against Scotland, the first time Ukraine have played for a while, how did that work? Because some of you guys, like you for example, Yaremchuk, you've been playing regularly for big European teams. Some of those guys who play in Ukraine haven't been playing for ages. So how did you get it so you're all on the same level?
I have one answer for this question. We trained so hard. And I want to say that in this 2 weeks what we had preparation, and the guys, they played some friendly games. We have in the training so high quality of trainings with a good intention, with a good pressure. And we had some injuries, small injury, but every time was every training was tough. And I think that's why we succeed in these games, because we focus every day and we come to this game in the good physical condition. Because I think a lot of young guys we have with a big potential in the future, but. First of all, we saw that important have physical condition because we play against a physical strong team, and I think in these components we didn't lose in these games.
Finally, what has it been like playing these two games in Łódź? They're not really home games, but the fans have tried to make it like a home game for you. How has it been, and how have the fans been for you?
Yeah, it's difficult to keep emotion inside before the game, also before the game. And after the game, because they are supporting so hard these games, and they come from all Poland. I think we had great atmosphere in these two games, and thanks to all supporters that support. Because also, I want to say we have a lot of good things what we had in Ireland, in Wales, in Scotland. The supporters really lovely in these games, and of course. Before and after the game, we feel a lot of love from them, and for us it's also important. Of course, during the game, this is football, and every team want to win. But in the end of the game, when the result on the table, and when you feel this support, it's make you proud for the people in these countries.
Party's still going on in the car park.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.